The Quick and the Dead, written by Marcia Ouellette and read by June Barry.
Chapter 1. She is there again this morning, standing at the end of the drive, half hidden by the oak trees, camouflaged by the shadows. As she stares at the house, her attitude is one of eagerness and longing. A desperate hunger emanates from her still, tensely focused figure. The milk van comes rattling down the lane, and she turns aside swiftly, melting into the darkness of the woods. Both Gwyneth and Alwyn have seen her. Her brooding presence has alerted these two aged guardians, the present custodians of the house. From their rooms on the first floor, standing well back from the mullioned windows lest they be seen, they watch her. Their thoughts reach out to her, like invisible probes, testing and questioning. They see her disappear amongst the trees and smile gently to themselves. Clarissa does not see her at all. She sees only the dappled shade, the gleam of the sun through the bare branches, the shadows moving on the drive. All her thoughts are turned inwards. Her face is set in unhappy lines, her arms are folded beneath her breast, hands gripping elbows. "It isn't fair," she mutters. "It simply isn't fair." The clear, regular note of a bell is carried on the breeze, across the fields and into the valleys. It is time for terce at the convent on the hill. Gwyneth and Alwyn move uneasily, frowning at the pure high call to prayer, and Clarissa sighs as she turns away from the window. It is too late now to talk to Thomas about his daughter's obsession with the nuns. Easter is past, and very soon now Megan will enter the convent as a postulant, while she, Clarissa, will be left in this old house miles from civilization, with only a cripple and two old women for companionship. "It isn't fair," cries Clarissa, and Alwyn and Gwyneth, pausing outside her bedroom door to listen, nod wisely to each other, recognizing the note of frustration in her voice. It has not always been so. In the early days, Clarissa thinks she must have died and gone to heaven when she marries Thomas and moves to the house surrounded by the ancient oak wood. She first meets Thomas at a friend's house where he is staying after the death of his wife. The poor woman apparently has never really recovered from a series of miscarriages, and now she is gone, leaving Thomas with 15-year-old Megan and two elderly aunts for whom to care. He is charmingly old-fashioned, courteous and gentle, considerate and sincere, and Clarissa is very taken with him. When he talks of the old Tudor house, standing in the oak woodlands in the Welsh marches, of the lawns and the river and the mountains, Clarissa realizes just how tired she is of the smoke and grime of London streets. He describes the house, spacious and cool and quiet, and she thinks with distaste of her cramped basement flat in Fulham. He tells her of his daughter, of pretty, charming little Megan, and she is aware of her maternal instinct, never very far from the surface, rising within her. His hosts, behind his back so as to preserve his finer feelings, speak to her glowingly of Thomas's wealth and the nobility and lineage of his family. They have suddenly, blindingly, seen all the advantages of a union between Thomas and Clarissa, and they do not hesitate to promote the match. They are beginning to regret their open-ended invitation to Thomas to come and mourn with them, and can now see a way of killing two birds with one stone. Not that they are heartless or unfeeling, they assure each other, no, certainly not. But darling Clarissa is, let's be honest, the tiniest bit of a drag. She is forever dropping in or phoning up and droning on about her biological clock and the misery of living alone. And then there's all the fag of having to find a spare man for dinner parties and so forth. Getting really difficult these days. Oh, honestly, darling, not that helpless female from Fulham again. As for dear old Thomas, well, it is the least bit dreary having him moping about the place and having to keep up the caring, encouraging thing, when you wanted to be getting pissed with that fun couple who've moved in opposite.